ever, oh God, in this fashion, oh God, in light off. Mighty God, I pray, Lord God, that you will just anoint our ears, mighty God. Anoint our eyes, oh Lord God, to hear, oh God, and to see, oh God, what you have, oh Lord God, ordained for us to learn this evening, mighty God. And that, Father God, whatever we have learned, Father God, we will dwell on it, mighty God, so we can be able to be better persons, mighty God, to help, oh Lord God, and to teach others, oh Lord God, what we have learned, mighty God. Father God, I pray even now, God, that you will even touch the presenter right now, Father God. Give her the right words to say, mighty God. Anoint her right now, Father God, as she's about, mighty God, to share what you have been laid on her heart, mighty God. Father God, touch each and every one of us here this evening, mighty God. And Father God, we pray, Lord God, that you may even touch the airways, mighty God, that our internet connections will be good, mighty God. Father God, we give you thanks, God. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. So good evening again, everybody. Just welcome to another training session. This evening, we'll be doing chapter 13 of the mandate. And it's called A Mandate to Give Succor to Widows and Orphans. But before we start, I just want to, you know, do a little icebreaker. So I want, there are about 10 of us on, and I want, you know, everybody, because we have enough time that we could do everybody, and there are enough of us that we can do everybody, just to give one thing that you are thankful to God for, after your day-to-day. So I can actually start. I am thankful to God because he always, you know, sustains me. So today I had I work in a bank, and I right now I'm writing loans. So, you know, everybody comes to you, they want a loan, but they don't always qualify according to the bank standards. And, you know, you kind of have to find a way to present, you know, and shift around things and numbers to help people to be able to get what they want. And the Lord just really helped me, one lady, and to, you know, just to write it and to get it submitted and approved. So I just really love for that, because I know she was really, you know, she really needed the loan to carry on her business, because that's her livelihood. So I'm thankful to God for that. So don't let me call your name. Just unmute your mic and you can come on and just say what you're thankful to God for. Just one thing. Anybody?
I'm thankful to God. My daughter finished school and has gotten a job as a teacher. So I'm grateful. She has finished her first degree and starting a job just at the end of school. So I'm very, very grateful. There are many who don't have a job after finishing so many years in school. So I'm very grateful for that.
Amen. Thank God. And that was, who was your name? I didn't hear. Sorry.
My name?
Yeah, that's Sharon.
Yes.
Okay, great, Sharon. This is Sharon from Jamaica. Hello?
Yeah, Sharon from Jamaica.
Okay, great. Anybody else?
From the Bahamas.
Hi, Kenya.
Kenya from the Bahamas. Kenya from the Bahamas.
Go ahead.
I'm grateful today because we had a full lockdown, an immediate lockdown without being one earlier today. And she have twins, they're like 2 months, and she didn't have milk for the children. So we were praying, and she borrowed some water. But this afternoon, the Prime Minister opened the country, so she'll be able to go get milk and water for her family, her babies and her children. So I'm grateful that God always make a way out of no way. Mm-hmm. So she's able to go out to the store now.
Amen, amen. That's done.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you for sharing. Anybody else? I'll take three more.
Well, I'm thankful for a lot of things God have done for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, many, many things. How many years ago, my son was in an accident and then the wife died and God spared him and his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing a lot of things for me. My daughter was sick just a few months ago. She was in hospital. They had mm-hmm. to give her blood, but thank God she's much, much better. So I have a lot to thank God. And if I have to say, I'll take the whole day. So thank God for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Teresa. Two more. That's Teresa from St. Lucia.
Yeah,
you got it.
I'm thankful to God. Because he's an on-time God. I was, you know, back to school coming on, and I was really praying and believing God for a financial turnaround. And today I saw that God is really an on-time God. So to God be all the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
One more.
As my sister said, my daughter got a job. Today I got the good news that my daughter finally got a job. And another thing is I needed somebody to do a watch. And somebody left or was having problems. And I got the person today.
Ooh, that's good. That's great. That's wonderful. Well, even before we start this session, we just want to give you thanks. All the time you are so good. Father, you are so kind. You know, even in the things that may seem trivial, oh God, to many others, oh God, you are mindful of us. And Father, we are just grateful, oh God, for all that you are doing, all that you have done. Father, thank you for this day. Father, you said you load the day with benefits. You load it with, you know, blessings, mercies. Oh, God, we thank you, oh, God, for every benefit, every mercy, every blessing, oh, God, that you have given to us in this day. Lord, we are grateful, you know, that you continue, oh, God, to keep your eye upon us. Father, that you are ever mindful of us. Lord, we are grateful, oh God, for every provision that you have made. Father, we are grateful, oh God, for, you know, how you have guided, how you have opened closed doors, how you, oh God, have, you know, somebody said, made a way where it seemed to be no way. Somebody said that how you are on time, that you are on time, God. Father, we thank you, oh God, for being a faithful Father. All that you do, all that you, you know, carry us through, all that, you know, you accomplish on our behalf is not anything to do with us, but all to do with your faithfulness. And Lord, we just give you thanks this night, oh God, this evening, for your faithfulness, for your love, for your kindness. Father, we enter your gates with thanksgiving this evening, and we enter your courts with praise. We lift you up and we exalt you, mighty God. Oh God, we magnify and we glorify your holy and your matchless name. Father, we declare that there is none like unto you. Father, we declare, oh God, that there is none beside you, none apart from you, none outside of you. Father, we declare, oh God, that you are the one true, only, and living God, the mighty God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. Oh God, we just worship you this evening. Oh God, even as we enter into this study, even as we enter into this training, Father, you know, we just stop to say thank you. We just stop to give you praise. We just stop to magnify who you are and who you continue to be, who you always are. Father, your word says in you there is no shadow of turning. Your word says, oh God, you are not a man that you should lie, or the son of man that you should repent. Father, you don't need to say sorry for anything that you haven't done, because every word, it goes forth and it does not return empty. And so, Lord, tonight, we just give you praise. Father, we honor you. Father, we desire you. Oh, God, meet us tonight. Father, I invite you to speak. Father, I invite you, oh, God, to let your heart be known among us tonight. Father, I invite you, oh, God, to show us, oh, God, your desire. Father, concerning widows and orphans. Father, I ask, oh God, that you would show us, oh God, what are your thoughts towards them. Father, I pray that you would align our thoughts. You would align our hearts, oh God, you know, to what you think, oh God, regarding widows and orphans. How you feel about them, oh God, and how you want us to feel about them. Father, we give ourselves over to you tonight. Father, and we invite your Holy Spirit just to move upon our hearts and move upon our lives, oh God. Father, that by the time we have finished this on Thursday, Father, that we would have a new appreciation, a new outlook, oh God. Father, on how you view, oh God, those among us that you know, are sometimes unable to help themselves. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you honor. We give you glory. We give you all the majesty, the might, oh God. We ascribe everything unto you that is due to your name. Father, you are worthy, and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So tonight is going to be a little interactive, and then Thursday we'll do the PowerPoint, etc., etc. So tonight, first of all, like I said, we're doing the chapter 13. I want to thank God that he brought us almost to the end. There are 15 chapters, and we are at chapter 13. You know, and the Lord really just helped us through this training. So tonight, the chapter is called "A Mandate to Give Succor to Widows and to Orphans." Okay, and so before we even get to the chapter, I'm going to give out some scriptures. And I have, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 8 scriptures. I'm just going to look through the list. So, okay, so Sabrina, I want you to look for James 1:27. Teresa, I want you to look for Isaiah 1:17. Kenya, I want you to look for Psalm 68:5. Teresa. Ramona, I want you to look for Exodus 22:21-24. Georgia, I want you to look for Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 to 5. And then Jem, I want you to look for Psalm 146, verse 9. This is Jem. Then I want Levon to look for Deuteronomy 27:19. And the last one, Eva, I want you to look for Psalm 82:3. So let's kind of get some context to what God is really saying about widows and about orphans. So, okay, who did I call for? Sabrina.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me, Isaiah what?
Isaiah 1:17.
Okay, thanks.
No problem. Anybody else needs clarification before we start?
Mine is okay. Exodus 22:21-24.
That's Ramona, right?
Okay.
All right, so Sabrina, you could go ahead.
Reading from the Amplified Version. External religious worship, religion as it is expressed in outward acts, that is pure and unblemished in the sight of God the Father, is this: to visit and help and care for the orphans and widows in their affliction and need, and to keep oneself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world. Up there ends the reading.
Amen. So before I go on, let me just give a bit more clarity. So when you are finished reading yours, right, you kind of have to just give me from the verse, what is God's heart? What do you get that God's heart is regarding widows and our orphans?
Okay, what I received from that verse is the fact that God wants us to care for our orphans and the widows. And we need to be sensitive and open to this. And God makes a way out of no way, as we said, in terms of us caring. And sometimes we are the ones that have to be ready and willing to do whatever he tells us to do as it regards helping our orphans and widows.
Okay. All right. So that's Sabrina. So Isaiah 1:17, that is Teresa. So Teresa, you can go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Lean to do well. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Reveal the oppressed. Judgment. Judge the fatherless, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows, So what he's telling us there, learn to do well, learn to do well to the widows, person who their husband died. Mm-hmm. So seek judgment, to have the right judgment and to relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widows. So we have to plead for the widows wherever we go, to ask God to do good for them and to help them.
Right. So what verse are you reading, Teresa?
Isaiah 1:17.
Which Bible version? Your King James, King James.
King James.
Yeah. This is
something for Somebody saying something?
Well, I have another version, and it said, learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the oppressed, defend the fatherless, plead for the widows. Right. So it said, do good.
So that's what I was asking. When it says rebuke the oppressor. So, you know, the people who are bringing oppression, rebuke them. And then it says defend the father and plead for the widow. Right. So thank you, Teresa. Ken. Kenny, are you there?
Yes, from the King James Version. Psalms. That's Psalm 68:5. Mm-hmm. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation.
Right.
So what it's saying to me, what I get from it is it's telling you that God is the father for those who don't have a father, mm-hmm. and he's a defender for those who don't have a husband, whose husband has died. And he hold them in his holy habitation. He's always with them. They're always in the front of him. He always have them at the forefront of their minds, protecting them and looking out for them. Because it says, is God holy habitation? That means they're always there. They're always there with him. So that's what I get it from that.
Okay. Thank you. Who's next? Ramona is still there.
I figured out. I'm so sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
neither begs a stranger, nor oppress him. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. And my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Mm-hmm. Right. Here we see that our God is a God of vengeance, a God of mercy. And we see that we have to keep in mind the fact that he loves the widows and the orphans, and he will always defend them. Mm-hmm. And anyone tries to hurt them and they cry to him, he will come in their defense. So we really have to be very careful with not to offend or to ill-treat any widow or orphan in the land of the living.
Mm. Yeah. So, 1 Timothy 5, that was Georgia.
Yeah. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. And I'm reading from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And the younger men as brethren, the older women as mothers, the younger as sisters with purity, with all purity. Mm-hmm. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show pity at home and to recruit their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Five and last. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Well, here I see God is telling us how we should treat our young and old men and women in the church or in the community at large. Mm-hmm. And how to show support in times of hardship and to give assistance to them.
So then, regarding widows.
Huh?
Regarding widows.
Yes, so we should show support to the widows and the orphans also.
Right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to highlight this one a bit. Right? It says, I'm going to read another version. I sometimes like to read the message because it's very plain. So I'm going to read the same thing that Virgil read. It says, don't be harsh or impatient with an older man. Talk to him as you would your own father, and to younger men as your brothers. Reverently honor an older woman as you would your mother, and the younger women as sisters. Take care of widows who are destitute. If a widow has family members to take care of her, let them, as in let the family know, that religion begins at their doorstep, and that they shall pay back with gratitude some of what they have received. This pleases God immensely. So, you know, sometimes we have persons, you know, they are widowed, but you know, they kind of have like children who are grown. They have family members who can gather around them. What the Lord is really saying is that, you know, if this person has family, let them gather around, you know, and show what God calls true religion. More than once, God said true religion is taking care of the widow and the orphan. You know, let them, you know, show what God calls true religion. You know, let it begin from their household. So I just want to highlight that a bit, because sometimes you kind of put away people, especially if they're older. We kind of like, you know, shit them up.
put them away as families. The husband dies, the father dies, they put the mom in a home, the mother dies, they put the dad in a home because they don't have the time to take care. But I believe what God is saying is that you should make time to take care of these ones. Let that charity begin from the household. You know, that the God will be pleased with the home, pleased with the family. So I thought that was, I've never seen that before. I thought I just would highlight it a bit. Then we have Jem.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
I'm reading from the New King James. The Lord watches over the strangers. This is Psalm 146, verse 9. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. So I see this as him, God, supporting widows, the fatherless and widows, and being on their side, so to speak, in that he says, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. So he believes he supports the fatherless and the widows, but the reverse is true for those who he sees as wicked, or yeah, those who he sees as wicked.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dan. I think it was Sharon next. Sharon, you had Deuteronomy. Sharon?
Yes?
You had Deuteronomy?
No, I was the assigned one.
That's Laverne, I think.
Laverne.
Go ahead, Laverne.
Hi, Janai.
Right.
So the scripture we're reading from is Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 19. It reads, cursed is the one who perverts the justice to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Basically, what I gather from this scripture is once you show injustice, there's a curse for showing injustice to the widow. Amen?
Sorry, I didn't get all of what you said.
Excuse me?
I didn't get all of what you said. Sorry.
Okay. The entire scripture to repeat?
No. Okay. I didn't hear what your interpretation of it. I saw the scripture. I heard the scripture.
Oh, the interpretation?
Yeah.
From what I gathered is that curse is the one who basically does injustice to the list that they gave here, but tonight we are focusing on the widows. So curse is the one who basically does injustice to the widows.
Okay. And then it was Eva, Psalm 82:3. Eva still there? Hi, Eva. Hi, Eva. Right, so I'm not hearing her. So I will read Psalm 82. And verse 3.
I think she's on.
Oh, go ahead, Eva. Eva? You're not hearing. Right, so I will read it. I'm not hearing her. So Psalm 82. And so I'll read from verse 1. It says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. he judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. Right? So that goes as going to verse 4. So basically, here is highlighting orphans. It says, defend the poor and the fatherless, and do justice to the afflicted and the needy, and deliver the poor and needy, free them from the hand of the wicked. So I want one person just to give me like a full summary based on all the scriptures that we've read. You know, what is God's heart towards the widows and the orphans? Because, you know, in some of them, you know, he says, when they cry out to me, I will hear them and I will get angry, you know, and I will make you, your children fathers, I will make your wife widows. You know, that sounds kind of extreme to me. But I just want one person to come and like just summarize everything, if you possibly can. So I don't want to call a name. But if nobody volunteers.
Can I just share one more point that I got from Minds, please?
Sure.
Sabrina, that when we take care of the widows and orphans, it's actually a form of worship to God. That it's a form of worship.
And that was James 1:27. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. So anybody want to sum up for me?
What I got from it, this is Kenya. I got from it is that God have a passion for the widows and the fatherless. That they're the apple of his eyes. He looks out for them. And you know, he's asking other people to look out for them because, and you know, he have a compassion for them. And he's always watching over them. And like he's their father. He's their almost like their earthly father because he and their husband because he's always there for them. He's always looking after them and his heart is with them always. So that's what I got from that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So that's exactly it. God has a passion and it's not just, it is not, he specifies it. You know, he specifies his passion for widows and orphans. He is like, say for me, for instance, I don't like to see children hungry, you know? So sometimes a child will come to say, you know, I'm hungry. You know, that boils something in me. It kind of affects me. I hear, you know, children, and then you can see the eyes, you know, you're just looking at them and you know that they just really want something to eat. And, you know, I kind of get upset because I can't possibly support them all the time. But in that moment, I can give them something to eat. But for me, I want to give them something to eat all the time. I don't want them to be hungry. So imagine God a million times over, you know, looking at orphans, looking at those who are needy, looking at the widows, and seeing them in their time of need or desperation. And he is just running to defend them, just running to comfort them, just running to, you know, provide what they need, that they never lack anything. So if I could feel like that, you know, about one child, you know, I may encounter on the street or I may encounter, you know, anywhere, how much more God, what does God feel for widows and what does God feel for orphans? Right? I want to just read one more scripture. This is from Psalm 147. starts praising the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How present and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiled Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them a name. Great is our Lord and mighty in His power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts out the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with grateful praise. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the skies with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of horses, nor is his delight in the legs of warriors. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Extol the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the fullness of wheat. He sends his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. I think everyone's now. His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down his hail like pebbles. Who can withstand his icy blast? He sends his swords and melt them. He stirs up his breezes and the water flows. He has revealed his word to Jacob, his laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. Do you not know his laws? Praise the Lord. And part of that I really want you to highlight was to say he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. And, you know, God really just runs after widows and orphans, you know, to heal their hearts, to bind up their wounds. So now that we kind of established God's heart, where do widows fit into wailing women? So God has called us to give succor to widows and orphans, you know, to kind of to care for them as we read in the scripture, to look out for them, to, you know, embrace them in their times of need. So the chapter starts, it says, oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. And that's Zechariah 7:10. So in this chapter, they kind of just go through four, they deal mostly with widows, but they go through four widows that we encounter in the Bible and how God responds to them. Says the Lord our God is recruiting an army of widows as intercessors. They are called to serve in our generation as prophetic vessels to reveal the mind of God. And you know, one thing I just want to stop here and say is that I remember my first time encountering Mama Ann, who is the international coordinator for the Wailing Widows. And when the other international coordinators greet her, most of them say, hello, God's wife. You know, they will always say, good morning, God's wife. Hello, God's wife. You know, because of the things that God does for her. Like you know, they're like extra special things because of her, because of her being a widow. You know, so they believe that God personally marries the widow. And, you know, he personally, the way that he runs to take care, he personally fathers the orphans. Personally, you know, he fathers all of us. But there is this extra pep in his step when it comes to widows and orphans, if you want to put it like that. So he says they are called to serve as prophetic vessels and to reveal the mind of God. How do they reveal the mind of God? Because if you're saying, hello, God's wife, who knows the heart of a man better than his wife? You know, who knows, you know, a father better than a child? So, I mean, we are all God's children, but I can still turn and say, this is my earthly father. There's some who can't say that God personally takes care of. And who knows him better than they do? There are some women that, you know, can turn to their husbands, but then there are others whose husbands have died and God personally marries them. So all they have to come in and say, and if you know anything about the Nigerian culture, you know, they call, some of them call their husbands daddy. All they have to say is daddy. And God personally just runs to take care of them. What do you want? Is it a new dress? Is it, you know, and that kind of care that a husband would give to a wife, God takes care of widows like that. So they serve as battle axes in God's hand to overturn the unjust judgments and policies of wicked rulers. So what qualifies them for that? Because the life that has played out for them, I believe, you know, it is, you know, it is God's permissive will, but also there is a measure of unjust. So for us who would see someone whose husband has died or whose wife has died, and, you know, we would see them and they're going through, and we would say, oh, God, have mercy. You know, God, have mercy. It just seems to us like that, okay, why did that person, you know, why this person or why that person? You know, it is the same kind of mentality for God's heart towards widows. It is like, you know, it seems unjust. And I'm sure if they're, you know, in their grieving process or whatever, they would go through that part where it says, oh God, you know, this thing seems unjust. It doesn't seem fair, you know, that my husband would have died, my wife would have died, my children, you know. The children may say, why did my parents die, you know, or why am I abandoned as a child? So that kind of, they kind of understand that injustice, and that kind of qualifies them to kind of judge other injustices, other wickedness like that bring injustice. So, you know, they serve as God's battle axes, and they serve as battle axes in God's hands to overturn unjust judgments and policies of wicked rulers. So they kind of have a special insight to injustices and what seems to be unjust. Some of them are being used to sustain the lives of prophets and ministers of the gospel. One thing God has said about men and women is that we are meant to call forth the man-child company. I know there are the widows, especially, you know, they pray for specific men of God. They, you know, they pray, you know, they continually pray for them that they wouldn't, you know, falter, they wouldn't fall, they wouldn't lean to the left or lean to the right, but, you know, that they will fulfill God's mandate and God's, what God has said about them, they will fulfill them, his mandate on their lives. So they kind of just bring men into alignment with God's judgment, and they pray to keep men in alignment with God. So they are in a prophetic marriage to the Lord. So remember, we just heard that, you know, Mama Ann, they say, hello, God's wife. You know, God has revealed to them that, or revealed to us that he has married the widow. He has, you know, he fathers the orphan. So God takes them up as his own wife, you know, and he runs to take care of them. So they are in a prophetic marriage with the Lord. So anyone who's married or who has been married know that the things that your husband or your wife would tell you are not things that they would tell everybody. You know, my husband calls it gist, you know, that's gist. So we kind of, you know, back and forth, and, you know, he tells me things that he wouldn't just tell every person. So that is the relationship that they have with the Lord. They have a special place. So, like, they kind of have, you know, we talk about the intimate place with the Lord. And when I think about intimacy, I always think about the bedroom place, you know, like in the bedroom. So they kind of have that bedroom place, you know, with the lie on the pillow. Just to bring it to practicality, they lie on the pillow, and as you're just there lying on the pillow, you just, according to my husband, you chat, and you hear God's heart, he hears your heart, and they have that insight as to what, you know, God is really thinking, what he's really doing, what he really wants. So because he has taken them as his own wife. So in this chapter, we will share the experiences of four widows whose stories are recorded in the Bible. And by studying the chapter, this is the objective. you will know what to do to help bring succor to widows and their fatherless children. So,
yeah, oh, what's wrong?
All right, so the prophet's widow, right? And this one is taken from 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. So let me just find somebody who would. Ivy, could you look that up for us, please? 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. And I'll tell you when to read it. So it says, the prophet's widow who cried to the prophet Elijah, seeking help for her children, that's what the Lord can use people to bring help to widows and orphans out of their plight. It says, now there cried a servant woman, so this 2 Kings 4:1, of the wives of the son of the prophets unto Elijah, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be born men. And why was she worried? Because she was a, we read it in, I think, George's verse, where it talked about those who have families, take care of these people among your family. So why she was so worried is because that, you know, she didn't have, if that bomber took her two children, who would then take care of her? And in those days, women, they kind of took care of the home. So they weren't work bees, but you know, they weren't going out to work to really earn a salary, you know, to say, come home, let me supply for my household. You know, it was the men who took care. And I don't know if you remember the widow whose son had died when Jesus came in, you know, that there was a like a funeral procession going on, and Jesus went and he eased the widow's sorrow by calling her son from death back to life. You know, because that was her only way of surviving, her son. Her husband had died, and now her son had died. Remember Ruth, when her husband died, her two sons died, you know, not Ruth, Naomi. Her husband died, her two sons died. God made a way for her when she went back to Jerusalem, you know, where then Boaz took up her place. Boaz redeemed Ruth, redeemed Naomi, redeemed the family name, you know, but, you know, it was God, and that, you know, anybody, we often hear about how Boaz is the kinsman redeemer, you know, that's what God does for us, and God does for our widows. You know, he redeems them, you know, that they're not just cast aside, they're not just put away. You know, he gives them new life when he takes them up as his own. Is a kind of what Boaz did with Naomi and Ruth. He took them up as his own, because Ruth was a widow as well. He took her up as his own. He married her, you know, and out of that marriage there were children. They came, Obed, the son of Jesse, who was then the son of David. And David was the father of, you know, they call that, it came, when they hear about Jesus Christ, it comes out of the line of David. So he's at that line that produced the Christ whom we all know saved us. So, you know, God is our kinsman redeemer. He's the kinsman redeemer for our widows. So it says the widow is believed to be the wife of the prophet. This is the one that we're talking about, the prophet's wife, believed to the wife of the prophet Obadiah, the prophet who hid those who were persecuted by Jezebel and fed them with bread and water in the cave. She recognized the anointing on Elisha, God's prophet, as access point to God, and she ran to him for help. Remember what God said, you know, about widows. When they come to me and I hear their cry, when I hear the cry of widows and orphans, you know, I would arise in wrath. I would arise to defend them. So this here is this one, run to God, you know, for help. She stated her problem in plain language, and Elisha proceeded to show her the way out of hopelessness. poverty and shame by encouraging her to look inwards. He made her settle down and think. He made her shut out distractions, and he made her work. The result was a miracle of increase that settled her. So, Ivy, could you read 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 to 7 for me, please? Ivy? I see her on YouTube. Okay, let me choose. Annette, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon.
Hi, good evening. We're not hearing Ivy at the moment, but could you help us to read 2 Kings chapter 4, 1 to 7?
Okay. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow the vessels aboard of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pray, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest.
Amen. So, what do we see here? So, I just want you guys to tell me, what do you see God doing for this widow who ran to cry for him, or cry to him for help? I'll take about 3 responses. Anybody can go.
What I see, that God supply the widow with her needs, because man of God tell her to fool, and she obeyed,
mm-hmm.
and then she got the oil, and the man of God tell her to go and sell to pay her debt. So that means God take care of all her debt.
Mm-hmm. He took care of all her debt. Anybody else?
I'm saying, well, God not only took care of the debt, but he saved her sons from being cruel. He saved her sons.
Okay, anybody else?
And, you know, and...
Hi, Sharon. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. I got cut off.
Yeah, I really. Okay, so anybody else, what did God do for the widow?
God empowered her to take care of her situation. He made a way for her to be independent in terms of the economics. He also enabled her sons to remain with her, but he also provided for further down the road, because it said, and live thou and thy children off the rest. So it seemed to me as if it was a complete assignment. They were set.
and she wouldn't have any more worries.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, he made a complete way. He took care of the, he did not only take care of the debt. He could have just said, okay, that money, then, but how would they live? You know, how would they then survive? He took care of the debt, and then he made provision for them along the way. But somebody said something important. God empowered that woman. So, like, when, I don't know. I can only imagine. So, I can only imagine what it would be like to be a widow. I have no idea. But from where my imagination can take me, I would figure you're living with this person all along. They die. And at the point of their death, especially, and I believe like for especially women who marry young, you know, and especially for women, you know, who marry and this is the only man you've known. This is, you know, the only person, this is the person you came home to. This is the person that you would look to, you know, for anything. This is the person that you worked out stuff with in your marriage. So, you know, whether it was hard times or it was good times, you guys went at it together. To now have to face that alone, I cannot even begin to imagine what it would be like. To now have to say, okay, how do I pick up the pieces? I heard Sister Yvonne say, when we were having the conference, she spoke on behalf of the widow. She said when her husband and her son died, she had to then look at facing things alone. How would she then encourage her daughter? How would she then, you know, care for her other children? When she herself, you know, she wanted to just curl. She wanted to just come into a shell. I cannot imagine what that would be like. You know, so for God now to come, you know, he kind of, for her, this one, he empowers her to let her know, you know, everything will be okay. She lets her know, you know, you're not alone. You are not, you know, you're not abandoned. Come into me. And so he told her to go in, shut the door. And then, you know, to take off the pots. You know, he said, you're not alone. And then when the pots, they were filling. When they brought them the last vessel, I mean, the oil stopped because there was nowhere. He said then to go sell the oil, pick up a trade. You understand? He then empowered her to just get back up. He empowered her to just stand on her feet again. You know, empowered her to know, okay, this has happened to you, but it's not the end of the world, as much as it might seem like the end of the world. This has happened to you, but you won't die. You know, you won't starve to death. I will take care of you. And then I will take care of your children. So, you know, God's heart for widows, it runs deep. Because it's like, you know, they are the oppressed. They're the ones who have, you know, who fall at the bottom. But he is the one who is picking them up. So, for the widow in this particular, you know, I see, just see God, somebody said he empowered them to just get back on their feet. He empowered them to stand again, to know that, okay, it's not the end of everything. There is a way, and I will make the way for you. So God really just poured out for this particular widow. It says from the story of this widow, we can see that there is a miracle of oil. He provided fresh oil. I don't know what it would be like. I know generally when people, they die, especially if you weren't expecting them to, you know, you can feel drained. You can feel alone. You can feel like nothing is going right. You can feel all sorts of emotions and feelings. But he says he provided them with a miracle oil. You know, God himself can be made to go around and solve the problems of every widow. You know, heal the life of every widow. So he was a problem solver for this widow, you know, this particular widow. He solved her problem. where the debtors were coming. And when you see, okay, you was failure or is a widow, let me just write off the debt. The husband owed the debt. Let me write off. This woman has no money. See this debtor. He came and he wanted to strong arm them. You know, he wanted to say, you have to pay it. You now have to take up this debt. And if you don't take it this way, I will take away your son. You know, so that's when he talks about, you know, doing unjustly to widows and orphans. That is something that is unjust. This person no means by which to pay you. The debt was not this particular person's. You know, the debt was the husband. But because of greed, because of wickedness, you want to strong arm them into paying a debt that you know. And it's not like, you know, the husband left them anything to say, okay, let me pay. The husband didn't leave an inheritance, but he wanted to strong arm them into paying this debt, you know, out of greed, out of, you know, he probably would have suffered a loss. But the Lord, you know, settled the debt for this widow. He settled the problem for this widow. So then we're going to read about the widow of Zarephath. Then it says, this gracious widow fed the prophet Elijah and secured a miracle which sustained her throughout the period of drought by opening the prophet and opening to the, by obeying the prophet, and serving him the only meal she had left, God ensured that her cruse of oil never ran dry. So we all know this story. So this one is from 1 Kings 17 and is 13 to 14. And Elijah said to her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the pools of oil fail until the day of the Lord, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, sendeth the rain onto the earth. So then we see from this one that, you know, God, she had nothing left, yet she gave of what she had left to the prophet. So she could have said, I have nothing to feed my son, I have nothing to feed myself, how can I give you and I don't have? She first serviced the prophet and then she serviced herself, you know, and she was content. Okay, well, I will make this cake for the prophet, and then me and my son, we were curl and die. But it wasn't so. God didn't see it that way. So it says the widow's experience, from this widow's experience, we can learn several lessons. But before I read the lessons, I'm going to read the passage again. And I want two persons to just come and tell me, you know, what do they think they can learn from this particular lesson? Noting that this is for widows. But note that we want to capture the heart of God for widows in this session. You know, what do you think God's heart is? So that's question number one. Concerning widows and the widow in this particular story. And then one thing that you can learn. So I'm going to take it from two persons, but I'm going to read the scripture again. I'm just looking for it so I can read a bit more. So you get a bit more of what is being said. 1 Kings chapter 17. Right. So this is, I'll read from verse 1 so you kind of get the context. It says, and then this happened. Elijah the Tishbite from among the settlers of Gilead confronted Ahab. As surely as God lives, the God of Israel before whom I stand in obedient service, that's a message. So this is a message version. I stand in obedient service. The next years are going to see a total drought, not a drop of dew or rain unless I say otherwise. So this is where Elijah, you know, said he commanded the rain to cease, basically. God then told Elijah, get out of here and fast, head east and hide out at the Kerith Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. You can drink fresh water from the brook. I've ordered the ravens to feed you. Elijah obeyed God's orders. He went and camped in the Kerith Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. And sure enough, ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. Eventually, the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him, get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. So he got up and went to Zarephath, and he came to the entrance of the village. He met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. He asked her, please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink. And she went to get it. He called out, and while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat? She said, I swear as surely as God, as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in the bottom. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for my son and me. And after we eat it, we'll die. Elijah said to her, don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you said, but first make a small biscuit for me and bring it back here. Then go ahead and make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of the God of Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought. And she bent right off and did it. She did just as Elijah asked, and it turned out as he had said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter, exactly as Elijah had delivered it. Right? So, two persons. Just give God's heart and what you believe God's heart to be concerning this particular widow, and then one lesson that we learn. Just two. So I'll call names if nobody volunteers. So Yvonne? Yvonne, are you there?
Hey, why are you in front?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Marcia.
Hi. Do you want to go ahead and tell us what you believe God's heart is in this situation, and then, you know, one lesson that you could possibly learn? Yvonne? She drops. All right, Ramona?
Yes, sir.
Wait, you want to try first?
The widow of Zarephath. God's heart concerning the widow. He did with compassion towards the man of God, the prophet, and also to the widow. And he showed the widow by doing what he required of her, what he commanded, what he asked her to do. He did. Unto obedience, she went and gave him the water and prepared the cake for him. Yeah. The little, and this tells us how the obedience of this widow was what gave her the miracle. The miracle came out of the obedience to God. And it started with the prophet who asked and she responded, even though she had nothing, or even though she said that whatever she had was not enough. Mm-hmm. But show her that that is never too little. Whatever you got, God will multiply. You will think that is little, but for him that could become plenty. So he was really showing her and helping her to understand him more and his heart of compassion and love for her went beyond. And we see it later on also when the miracle was performed in her son. So we see that the God we serve is a God of miracles. Love and mercy and compassion for his people, especially for the widows and the orphans, is so amazing. It's so great that it's mind-blowing. I mean, this is something that we cannot comprehend. Only God can do these things as we read in the Word of God. And it's amazing us. It amazes me. Concerning the widows I'm a widow and I'm a widow 26 years. And I must say that I have seen the hands of God come through for me in every way, in every way. Even today I have one empty gas tank. And I said, Lord, I need the gas tank, and I have been using the other one, and I haven't had time to order. And you know, the company called me. I was sitting down here reading the word, and the company called me, a lady called me, and to ask me to buy a different offer that they have now of different gas tanks. And I say, wow, look at you. I order the gas tank and tomorrow they will bring it. And what I'm saying is I didn't call. The woman called. So that's to tell you how he really, really look after you. You just talk to him, because I talk to him all day long. And I always say, wow, Lord, you really amaze me every day, every hour. I just smile. I say, wow.
Amen. So,
anybody else?
What struck me is that God said that he had instructed the widow to look after Elisha. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show that God prepares the way. Apparently, this widow had a relationship with God. And so he paved the way for her obedience by going before Elisha. Right? So she was prepared to be obedient, because she had a relationship with God. And she went in faith and did what the prophet said, and you know, it resulted in her blessing. And it just goes to show that God knows his people, and he knows our hearts, and he knows what he can trust us with. You know, so yeah. That was very instructive for me, that he had said that he would go before Elijah and instruct the widow to look after him.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. You're absolutely right. So we heard Ramona's testimony, you know. The Lord, she didn't call the company calls her. So God said to them,
she needs gas. So you go and see how you can sort of gas for her. You know, like, he just instructed them. She didn't call, they called. And Sharon said, you know, this woman had a relationship with God. And, you know, he knew that he could trust her with this. And that's exactly it. So I just wanted to point out two things before I read the what they have here, you know, as the lessons that we can learn. One is that I will read something for you. So we get the whole history of Elijah, how he got where he got, how he got to Zarephath. He gets to the Zarephath, he finds the woman. He said, please, would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink. And she went, she got it. And then he called, oh, while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat? So here are her plates. I swear, as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough for a word to make a last meal for my son and me. After we eat it, we will die. So right there and then, you just kind of see, you know, where this woman's mind is at. Okay, I don't have food. I don't even know how to get it. I'm just scraping a bite. I'm scratching up, you know, just so that we could just have this one last meal. That was her mindset in that situation. After we eat this meal, we will die. Because there's nothing else. There's nothing more. There's nothing more I can possibly do. Yeah, Elijah says to this woman, don't worry. Do it. And, you know, this the flower pot will never go empty. The oil pools will never run dry. You know, do this thing. Serve the Lord in this way. And this woman who is saying to me, I am going to die, still runs to make this thing for Elijah. Still, you know, wants to please the Lord. And to be obedient to God's voice. Still runs to do it. I don't have enough for my child. And you know, some women in these days says, my child has to come first. You know, even if I don't eat, my child has to eat. So how am I going to feed you, this man that just come out of nowhere, you know, and not feed my son? I don't have enough for me. I don't have enough for my child. But yet she runs to give to Elisha. That was one thing that really just stood out for me. The second thing that stood out for me is that, remember we said in the beginning, and it kind of still relates to the point, what has God called widows to do? He says they are intercessors. He says some of them are being used to sustain the lives of prophets and ministers of the gospel. You know, and I said to you, I know some of these women, they just pray for these men. You know, they pray for men of God. Whoever God lays on their heart, they pray for. You see the same thing here. It's not necessarily a prayer, but she was meant to feed this man. You know, she was meant to bring sustenance to him, to cause him to survive by giving of her last. So widows are important to God because, you know, he can use them to bring sustenance. So in this all, they say here that the lessons that can be learned. It says obedience to God will always bring a reward. And we heard that coming out in Sharon's and Ramona's testimonies. Obedience to God will always bring a reward. It says, to obtain a miracle from God, we must plant a seed by giving. Those who will give never lack. In this, the widow's house, the barrel of meal did not go to waste, and the cruse of oil never ran dry. So in giving to God, you never lack. This shows that we can never lack when we practice giving sacrificially to the Lord. When we give him first. And not only giving sacrificially, when we give him first. So remember, she had nothing. Remember, she was saying, this is the last meal for me and my son. And when we eat it, we will die. You know, just say, just make me a biscuit out of it. You know, and what is left, you and your son can have. She gave sacrificially to the Lord out of the little that she had. You know? And when you give to him first, and she gave to him first, she didn't say, my son has to eat first. She didn't say, I have to eat first. She gave the Lord first by giving to Elisha first. So, you know, it says you will always get, he will always give you in return when you give to him first. He will always give you what? Double measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The Lord will give us. So, really, it's just teaching us a bit about the widows. And we'll continue on Thursday. And I'm going to give you a bit of homework. You know, just to go and to come back. Because for many of us, it's how do we care of those among us that are widows? You know, knowing God's purpose for them. For those of us who are widows, you know, is how do I honor God even in the midst of all that is happening with me, right? So whichever category you fall into, is it how do I take care of the widow? How do I take care of the orphan? You know, how do I look out for those who at this point they can't provide for themselves? And so, you know, whichever category you fall into, this is the homework. This is what I got you guys to think about between now and Thursday. And, you know, when we come back on Thursday, I'll ask a few of you just to share what the Lord would have shared with you. I want you to ask the Lord. You know, we heard what he said in the word about widows. We heard what he said about orphans. We heard, you know, what his heart is towards them. We see how he runs to take care of their needs. We see how, you know, he is looking just to bring solution to their problems. You see with this one, the widow at Zarephath, you know, how he provided for her out of her, you know, and out of her obedience, she received the blessing of, you know, never having to go hungry again because the crews never went dry and the flour bin never was empty. You know, the meal was not empty. We see. You know, I want us to just go away and ask God because, you know, I want us to ask God because these are people that you can easily forget. Widows and orphans are those you can easily, you know, it's like out of sight, out of mind. They're ones that you can easily, you know, just put in a corner. I want you to personally ask God, what heart does he want you to carry for widows and orphans? And if you're a widow, you know, ask God, what is it that you, even in this, my state of being husbandless physically, because God is now your husband, you know, ask him, you know, like, what God do you want me to do for you? You know, what benefit does this state, my state, have, you know, for your ultimate plan and for my life? For how can I benefit the kingdom? You know, and in getting this heart from God, you know, I read something and it always sticks with me. I could talk here all night, but at the end of the day, when we go away, we can still forget widows and orphans. But if God says to you, this is the heart that I want you to carry, we don't forget it. And that thing that I never said, it says, when we speak, nothing happens. When God speaks, when God tells, I remember God told me one time that anytime I have extra, that I must give it to this particular person. I must always, if I have $20 extra, this particular person, I must bless them. I must go out of my way to bless them. I must, and financially, you know, I must go out of my way to make some sort of provision for this particular person. And no matter what, that always sticks with me. If I have extra, it's that person that gets it. If I have a dollar extra, it's that person that gets it. It doesn't matter the amount. It's the fact that God commanded me is like to take care of this one. You know, make sure that I always take care of this person. So when he says that to me, you know, I don't forget, because he is the one that has said it. He's the one that has commanded me to do it. And we see how God's heart is towards widows. And why? Because there are ones that you can easily forget. But I want, you know, God to brand something on our hearts so that when we leave from this teaching, when we leave from this week, this chapter, that is not just another chapter that we did, but that God has spoken to you specifically something about widows and orphans that he is desiring of you. How should I care for widows and orphans? Lord, what should I do? What do you want me to do? How should I love them? Do I visit them? Lord, who do you want me to care for? Who is among me that is an orphan or widow? And he may just tell you one person, take care of this one. He may tell you visit some homes. He may, whatever he tells you to do. I want you guys just to go back and ask him so that he gives you that heart that he has for widows, that he has for orphans. You know, so that when you have that heart, you know, they're not easily forgotten by you, because he doesn't easily forget them. He runs, you know, to take care of them. He runs to take care of the orphan and the widow. So that's the homework for Thursday. So when we come back on Thursday, I just want us to be ready to share, you know, what God says to us or what God is saying to us regarding widows and orphans, you know, and how he wants us to feel about them, how he wants us to remember them, how he wants us to take care of them. What if there's something specific that he wants to do? You know, ask him to share his heart with you. You know, he may not tell you even anything to do, at least not yet. He may just share how he feels about them with you. So, but whatever it is that he shares, I want you guys to be, you know, just prepared to share on Thursday, you know, regarding what the Lord would have shared to you about widows and orphans. And we'll close here for tonight. And Brenda Lee. Hi, Brenda Lee. Can you pray to close this, please? That's not Brenda Lee.
Sister Basha, could I just share something before we close, please?
Go ahead.
One of the things that came to me as we were sharing about the widow with the two sons is that the person who came to take the sons and wanted her to pay the bondsman, you find that when persons are in a situation of vulnerability, mm-hmm. you know, this is when people may want to press on them even further without having a heart of compassion. And exactly. This is why I believe God sees it to say that they will be cursed, mm-hmm. because you are down on your luck, as it were, and you are adding to the misery. And especially women, you know, persons tend to think that they can get over you more easily because you may not have the information, you may not have the knowledge, etc. But during this time when your heart is so sore, you know, to try and take advantage of you. So that was one of the things that came to me as we were looking at that. And then the other thing is that when persons are suffering from loss, depression can be one of the things that can visit them. And you may not even realize or know that you may be in a depressed state. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the sensitivity and terms, sometimes we may not know what to say, but we may just need to be there and hold their hands or hold them, mm-hmm. you know? Thank you.
Thanks, Sabrina.
Sorry, guys. Anybody else have any contribution before we finish?
I want to ask you, what? How did they call a man his wife died?
He's a widower.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I have a question. So when the wife dies, how do God respond to the husband? Is there any scriptures where God responds to the husband because the children are still orphaned because the mother has died? So does God look upon them the same way?
Well, Kenya, I would have to research that. And that's a very good question. That's an excellent question. I would really have to research that. But I know that God has a special place in his heart for women on a whole. And that's why he called women in the first place. So remember in Jeremiah 9, they called him the weeping prophet. Jeremiah was crying his eyes out for Israel. But God said to him, all right, Jeremiah, let me send you some help. Call for these women. Call for the willing women. Those skillful in mourning. Why are they skillful in mourning? You know, when they first joined with the women, one of the things that was said is that, you know, God calls the women that have, what we realize is that women that have gone through things in life are the ones that, you know, like, I mean, hard things. I mean, I don't even know how to put it, because women go through things, right? But women, we realize that the ones that were gathered together is the women that have gone through things, yet seems like nothing to the world. You know, they seem like, and God thanks called and said, I want you to will. Why? Because, you know, you carry that, you have travailed, you carry that burden, you can carry that burden. And, you know, God hears a cry. I remember there was a case here in Barbados, and it was then I understood why God called wailing women. When it was something in a school, it was a very sad situation where a young man was killed in school. They were gambling, and something went wrong. They were bickering, and I think there were about four or five of them, and four of them held on this one young boy, and they beat him. They killed him. They held him for one to stab, or to, you know, something to that effect. And that was such a sad situation. But one thing I remember that man saying. He said, you know what, he was grieving for the loss of his son. But what he could not bear is the fact that when he called that mother and he heard her crying out like that, he said that that is a song he will never forget for the rest of his life. That is what he could not bear. Oh. His son had died, but what he could not bear was the travail of the mother for her son that was lost. So there is a special place in God's heart for women. And when we cry unto him, you know, when we bring our tears before him, when we see things in the nation and we say, oh God, please help. You know, God is moved to do it. But for men, I don't know. Because Jeremiah was weeping. Eh? Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. So that I would have to research and come back to you with. I just know that there's a special place in God's heart for women and why he's called women. And then know so much more the widow, you know, who has mourned or is mourning the loss, you know, of her husband. You know, how will God not come by her side and pick her up? That's how I see it. For men, I don't know. I don't believe it's much different, you know, because men are his children too,
right?
You know, but I know what God shows me concerning women. I remember God showed me about a little girl, how the difference between a man running to pick up his little girl that has fallen as opposed to a man running to pick up the little boy that has fallen. So the little boy, they usually just pick him up and you sort of dust the feet and dust the hands. Hey, you're good, you know? You're a strong boy, you know, and encourage him like that. A little girl now, she will ball, you pick her up, you cry, you pull her to the chest, you know? You rub the back and okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's just a different passion. So for men, I don't know. That's the honest truth. But I will look into it and see if I can come back with an answer for you.
All right, thank you.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
No. So now, why are you watching me?
Sorry, I'm not hearing you well. All right, so if you were asking a question, just unmute yourself again. I muted you. If you wanted to ask a question, just unmute yourself again and ask the question. I'm not hearing you well. This is the person that is called Fire Tablet. If you wanted to unmute yourself and ask a question. I'm not sure you're talking to us. Okay. So any other question, any other comment before we close?
Okay. Before we close, this is Brenda Lee. Why the passion is for women so much, we have to go back into the laws and the history. At that time, the inheritance or man took the authority, everything was the male. Because if a husband died and he had no son, that woman and her children did not get the inheritance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Goes on to the next brother or the next brother's son. So mm-hmm. God had a special heart for widows and orphans. Men were seen as the provider, the protector, everything about the family. So mm-hmm. if you remember Ruth said, Naomi said, I went out full. She ran out with her husband and her son. She said, I come back empty.
Mm-hmm.
Don't call me. Naomi, which means bitter. And therefore, even like when she said, a woman could only go into her next skin for any help or anything. So that's why she told her daughter-in-law, well, you have to go to the next skin. So she had to clean with Boaz, and she had to clean behind the people. Mm-hmm. And even if you, I don't remember, they have all crazy, I call it crazy name, even their father had a crazy name. In the Old Testament, where his father died and he only had 5 daughters, he had no son.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore they had no inheritance, they had nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to Moses and tell Moses, you made the law, you say God give you the law. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And it's not our fault, our father didn't have any sons, so we don't have an inheritance as far as any legal right in our family bloodline. We don't have any inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses went and interceded to God. And God granted Moses to give those 5 daughters
an inheritance.
Inheritance.
I remember.
Because if there's no male, a woman in those days had no legal right. They were like, I hate to say it this way, someone possession. Like, I have a cattle, I have a dog. Women didn't have no legal right in those days. So that's why God had to defend them so much. And that's why his heart was always towards a woman and her children. Because like I say, if the husband died and that son was not, even if she had a son and he wasn't the firstborn, he could not get the inheritance until he become a certain age. So again, it was like, we have nothing. We have nobody to, don't care how rich that family was. They had no inheritance if it was not a firstborn male when that father died, and that firstborn had to be at a legal age to possess the inheritance for his mother and his brothers and sisters, his siblings. So I feel that is why God spoke that way on behalf of widows and orphans, because of the natural law of the land. God said, now look, I'm going to take care of them, and I'm going to tell you how to take care of them on my behalf. Mm-hmm.
So, but Randy, I have a challenge for you then. Remember, the Bible says the word of God is living.
Pardon me?
You know? And the Bible says the word of God is living. Living.
Yes.
You know, so, I you made a very valid point, and I thank you for making the point, because you know I didn't remember that was, you know, that was the scene in which this is all set, right? But Mike, I want you to come back on Thursday. This is your extra, right? Okay, to say how has God's heart, and we know that his heart, you know, like, even though things are different now. So now you could have a wife, her husband dies, and the inheritance goes to the wife. You know, especially in our region of the world. Let me say that. Because, you know, some places still maintain those kind of traditions. That kind of law, it has been sustained in some places. But for us, You could have, you know, someone, your husband could die, and that inheritance, if you had anything to inherit, you know, it can go to the wife. I work in the bank. I see people will come in and they're able to take out. The law provides the means by which people, you know, say a husband didn't even leave a will, you know, but he still has assets. He may have house. He may have land. He may have certain things. He may have money in the bank. You know, that wife, even though there's not her will, she can take out what you call letters testamentary in the court. You know, she can go to the courts and become the executor of his estate, of the estate of that husband. Then that way she can divvy up. If they have children, she can give the children what, you know, what she desires to give the children, and keep whatever it is needed then to run the household, et cetera, in light of the fact that that person has died. However, some places still maintain the traditions that you're talking about. But my question is, how, you know, has God's heart really changed towards widows and orphans, even though the times and the seasons seem to have changed? Is, you know, is God's heart changed towards widows and orphans? You know, has he said, oh, they have a means to survive now? You know, and said, well, I don't need to worry about them so much anymore. And I know the answer right off the back of that will be, no, his heart hasn't changed. But I want you to kind of come back and tell us, why is it that his heart isn't, or how is it that his heart isn't changed, or give examples, you know, if you could even find an example where the heart, you know, God's heart remains the same for this group of persons, widows and orphans. You know, especially now that there are different laws, there is a different season, it's a different time. You know, the laws actually support, you know, widows and orphans getting what belong to the father, or belong to the husband, you know, maintaining it, retaining it. So I kind of just want you, if you can, just when you go, a little bit, it doesn't have to be too long, you know, but just come back and tell us a little bit, you know, about why you think God, like, and provide kind of like just a little evidence to say why hasn't God, this is why I believe God's heart has not changed
towards widows and orphans, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
That's okay, but it's quite obvious God has not changed. And because God cannot change, his way cannot change. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will stand forever. So therefore, because it is his word, from his point of view, it cannot change.
Okay.
Now, culture point of view, the laws have changed over the course of the year. That's the law of the land. Mm-hmm. As far as God laws are concerned, it does not change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It doesn't change, and his heart hasn't changed.
Marshall?
Hi, Sharon, go ahead.
Just to say that I'm agreeing with Brenda Lee that God's heart has not changed, because we must not forget that it's not just the monetary inheritance, but they're left with a lot of emotional pain, sometimes social injustices still exist, etc. So the heart would remain the same, you know, in terms of trying to being comforted to them, you know, putting them in families, etc., etc., etc. So it's not just the aspect of inheritance, though that is important, but there are other aspects as well that God is, concerned about and still very much active in.
So exactly. So I just go back to Sister Yvonne Joe from the USA when she spoke in the conference. You know, she said she did not know how to be a father to her daughter. You know, what is the role of the father in the household? How could she now be that? When she, her son, she was not just grieving for her husband, she was grieving for her son. You know, how then is it healed? So even though, you know, yes, I agree with you, Brenda. Thank you so much. You know, that is a very important point that you raised, that, you know, the times called for it. That time called for that special care, you know, for God to be given to the women of those things. But what of the women of these things? And I'm thanking for answering right now, you and Sharon. You know, the women of this time, they're you know, it isn't just, as Sharon is saying, it doesn't just inheritance. It isn't just, you know, I'm saying, oh, I need money to survive after my husband has died. What of the emotion? You know, what of the fact that I am a woman, I am left with these small children, or I am left with these children. I am left with these children who are, it's not just me who is now grieving. It's these children who are grieving their father, you know, and I have to be strong for my, you know, to help them through. I have to be, you know, all of that, all of those things can seem daunting and overwhelming. And you're exactly right, Brenda, even you say, you know, God's word doesn't change. And that's it. Because he said, this is how I see widows and orphans. And that's how he is. It's nothing that he says, he doesn't alter the words that come out of his mouth. Nothing that, you know, he has said, he goes back on. So even though the times have changed, the heart of God towards the widow and the orphan has not changed. You know, he still sees them the same way, no matter what they need. In this time, and the woman, the prophet's widow, it was that she needed vindication, you know, from a debt that was not even hers, that was trying to be placed on her. You know, for the widow at Zarephath, she needed, you know, to be sustained, physically sustained, she and her sons. The widow, the prophet's widow, also needed to be physically sustained. So, you know, and in the light of all of that, God still deals with the emotions, because I cannot imagine, you know, what it is like. But he still deals with the emotions. He still, you know, brings that comfort, that strength that they need to get up daily and to go to. You know, not, you know, the woman in Zarephath, she said, when we eat this, we will die. You know, that was her state of mind. Okay, this is the end. Yet, when God called her, he said, give Elisha this kid. She went, she gave the kid, and it was not the end. So then God sustained her a little bit more, sustained her, until then she was able. So, you know what? His heart towards widows, and I really want us to just get his heart towards them, towards orphans, you know? I lean to the side of orphans because I can't imagine what it's like. You're a child, you are just starting life, and then, you know, just this thing happened. I have a young lady here. Her parents are still alive, but she's orphaned because the parents are openly rejecting her. And it's so sad, you know? And she just wants their love. She just wants their attention. She just wants, you know, for her mom to say, I love you. For her dad to come and say, I love you. To even just spend 5 minutes. But they're openly rejecting this child. So much she's acting out. She just wants the attention. She just wants them, you know? She's an orphan as far as I'm concerned. How do I care for her? You know? And it's not necessary that she wants my love, but my love is there for her. You know what? It's not that she wants her mother, she wants her father, but how do we care for them? You know, and what heart does God want for us to have towards them? So, Brandy, your homework is canceled, you've answered. but that, I just really want you guys to, you know, go and come back and hear what the Lord tells you. You know, how does he want you to feel about it? How does he view them, and what does he show you about his view? You know, ask him, God, can I stand in your shoes and see how you feel about widows and orphans? So that's it. If there are no more comments or questions, Brandalee, can you pray to close us and dust us off?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Daddy, as we come tonight at the end of this class, we thank you for being here with us. We thank you for Marsha. Lord, we thank you as you increase her in knowledge and wisdom, God, in this area, so that when we meet back on Thursday, God, she'll have a fresh revelation of your heart towards women on the whole, but especially widows and orphans. Father God, we thank you for all of us who are zoned in tonight. And thank you, Holy Spirit, as you continue to minister us. Give us an ear to hear what you are saying to us. God, give us the wisdom how to put that which we are learning into practice towards widows and orphans. Mm-hmm. Father God, we just thank you and we honor you tonight for this topic that is so dear to your heart. Father, we thank you and we praise you for giving us clear understanding, even when we go and break out into our own individual study. Open up our eyes. Turn on the spotlight, Holy Spirit, that we will have clarity of what you are saying. Father God, and when we come back on Thursday, we will be like iron, sharpening iron with one another on this Zoom class. Father, we thank you for your love and your heart towards us as women. Father, we thank you for you hear the cry of women for so long. And we thank you in this new era, you are raising up your daughters and sitting them out on your trophy case that men may see how special we are to you and how beautiful we are in your sight. Father, we don't take it for granted, nor and arrogance and pride. But we humbly say thank you, Daddy, as you avenge your daughters in this season. We thank you as you raise your daughters up from the dunghill and sit them in palaces at the king's table. Father, we just thank you and we just praise you, even for the technology that we can use in this end time to carry out your work. Mm-hmm. Father, we thank you and we praise you as we leave this Zoom meeting, but never out of your presence, mm-hmm. that you will continue to be the husbands to us. You will continue to be a father to our children. We thank you, Daddy, and we ask these favor in the name of your son, our big brother, our husband, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
We bless ourselves. Mm-hmm. We bless ourselves and all of us. Let me find my glasses. I haven't memorized it good yet. We dust ourselves and all of us from the smoke and the dust of war. We cut off every trailing and monitoring demon. We erase our fingerprints, footprints, and voices from cyberspace, from media, from printed media, from the secular world, from being used against us. We declare that there should be no backlash, no boomerang, and no reprisal of this battle. We declare that finally, that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he should reign forever and ever. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever and ever. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us this night and forevermore. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Andrew. So, ladies, that's it for tonight. Thank you so much for attending. I hope you guys have a beautiful night. And back on Thursday ready, you know, just to share what God is saying to us, you know, and to continue teaching. So I'll see you on Thursday, God's willing.
Amen. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye. Thank you, Marsha.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Marsha.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, Marsha. Have a good